hearts are stirred. Alleluia, Lord, we sing. Good news that you bring. The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 22nd chapter. Once more, Jesus spoke to them in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his slaves to call those who had been invited to the wedding banquet, but they would not come. Again, he sent other slaves, saying, 'Tell those who have been invited, look, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fat calves have been slaughtered. Everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet.' But they made light of it. Went away, one to his farm, another to his business, while the rest seized his slaves, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his troops, destroyed those murderers, burned their city. And then he said to his slaves, 'The wedding is ready, but those invited were not worthy. Go therefore into the main streets and invite everyone you find to the wedding banquet.' Those slaves went out into the streets and gathered all whom they found, both good and bad. So the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing a wedding robe. And he said to him, 'Friend, how did you get in here without a wedding robe?' And he was speechless. Then the king said to the attendants, 'Bind him hand and foot, throw him into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen.'" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
I invite you to be seated. What has been your favorite meal that you have ever had? What has been your favorite meal that you have ever had? Not the food, but the meal. Was it a quiet dinner for two in a cozy cafe? Hot dogs with your family at the ballpark? Maybe a plate of barbecue surrounded by hundreds of others at the state fair? Was it cold cut sandwiches, homemade salads, and desserts as you laughed and cried at the stories of loved ones that you just buried? Was it that first sip of homemade soup when you are really hungry? Food is essential for our lives, both physically, because literally we cannot survive without that fuel, but also mentally, and I would argue spiritually. And in that sense, it's not necessarily about the food that we have, but the communion with those who are gathered around the table with us. The fellowship and connection that comes from what really is an intimate act. To eat together. And when we feed another at our table, sharing our own daily bread, there is no more sacred thing than that. For in a very real, if not immediate sense, we have saved their life by feeding them. We have connected with them deeply. Meals, especially with others, that communion happen at all kinds of times, both in celebration and in sorrow, in times of joy and times of despair. I remember watching the miniseries Band of Brothers, which follows Easy Company of the 101st Airborne during World War II, and I was moved by a scene where Easy Company medic Eugene Rowe and a Belgian nurse named Renee share a chocolate bar together in the snow, in the midst of the siege of Bastogne, surrounded by destruction and chaos, having witnessed and aided many horribly wounded soldiers and civilians. They shared a simple meal of a chocolate bar. An island of calm, of peace, companionship, amid chaos. A feast of hope and promise amid destruction. Entirely appropriate given the images of feasts we have today in our readings. The reading from Isaiah and Psalm 23 both help us get a different viewpoint on our world, a different view of what is going on, what it means for us now, but also in our ultimate future, a viewpoint that we are moved to see by God's word. Isaiah chapter 25 is a song. Anytime you see that text centered in Scripture, it's poetry. Often it means it's a song. I tell my students, think of it like a song in a musical, right? You sing when spoken words just can't convey enough. So here in Isaiah, we have a song. It's one sung to God in the midst of tribulation and struggle. Not only the Israelites, but all the nations have been brought low. All nations are covered by this shroud of death, living under its tyranny, a threat to all. And in the midst of this reality, Isaiah speaks the truth of who God is, who we are, and it orients us to this world differently. God is not indifferent, terrible, harsh. Rather, God is the one who is refuge of the poor, comfort of the needy in their distress, shelter from storm and heat. God is the one who calls all nations to the banquet. A feast of rich food and wine, a meal where God wipes away the tears from all faces, tears of pain and frustration, of sorrow and hopelessness, wiped away by the loving hand of God. And while we feast on rich food and clear wine, God swallows up death forever, freeing us, all of us, from its tyranny. The psalmist also speaks of a time of trouble. Walking through a valley overshadowed by death, enemies on all sides, and of a feast. A table set before us in the presence of those who would hunt us down to do us harm. A table filled to overflowing, water so deep it's still as glass. Grass so green and lush it wraps around our body in a warm embrace. Peace in the midst of turmoil. We are living in turbulent times. The images and stories coming out of Israel in the wake of the attack by Hamas are horrifying, literally incredible. The destruction that has come and will come from the Israeli response is also devastating, but it is not just there. Or in the horrors of war in Ukraine, Yemen, Syria, Sudan, too many places in the world. It is also here. Amid the sometimes chaos of our own lives, where what had once seemed stable has now broken loose from its moorings, injury, disease, death, visit us, our loved ones, our friends. A world that can sometimes seem to be only concerned with depriving us of things, where the object seems to be to grab as much as you can from others so that you might never run out. And where we huddle in our tribes seeking to prevent a ubiquitous them from ruining things, where ultimately we run from the tyranny of death. And it is this mentality, this idea of scarcity, that God has worked over the millennia to counteract with this image of the feast. That in good times and bad, there will be enough for us. That God's desire is not destruction, death, tumult, but rather good food, good wine, good fellowship. This is the story of manna in the wilderness, where we find that God is trustworthy, that God will provide daily bread for us, enough for our needs. And there winds up being enough for all. What would happen if we all just took enough and left the rest? Can we join in God's reality and imagine that might be possible? Can we imagine what a world like that would be to live in? God's feast is the promise that there is enough for all. Good food, good wine, good fellowship. God's promise is also that this is for everyone. Matthew reminds us that God makes the sun to shine, the rain to fall on good and bad alike. Isaiah reminds us that all nations, Palestine and Israel, Ukraine and Russia, are invited to the banquet table. Jesus says this feast is for good and bad alike. God prepares a table for us in the presence of our enemies because they're invited to the table as well. Yeah, even those people who just popped into your head right now. All are welcome at the table, because we are all the same. We are all created in the image of God, in need of saving from our blindness to seeing God at work in the world, seeing God present in others. Our sin of trusting that our wealth, our nationality, our political party, our race will save us. In need of being saved from the fundamental sin of believing that they are not like us. And around this feast of God, in the communion of this meal, we get to know one another and to see clearly. They're just like me. Friends, part of what makes the actions of October 7th so horrifying to me is that someone was able to convince these human beings created in the image of God who are using those guns that it was okay to do these unspeakable things to others bearing the image of God. And what is so unspeakably sad is that those same victimized human beings are at risk of doing the same thing. The amazing, incredible reality of the gospel, the good news of God and Jesus Christ that Jesus brings to us, is that everyone is invited to the feast. All are welcome at this table. And only here will we receive the food that will give us life that truly is life. Not this awful facsimile that we hold before ourselves and say, that's what life is like. And that food is Jesus, God's own Son, who came not to judge the world, but to save it, all of it, everyone in it, because we all need it. Because it's at this table, at almost every gathering that we have, that we hear Jesus promise, this bread is my body. This wine is my blood. Bread and wine, common things, made uncommon by God's promise and God's presence. So that when you come to this table, you receive not only food for your body, but food for your soul. I was talking with my UD class about differing understandings of communion within the Christian tradition. For some, this feast is a remembrance. The drinking of wine, the eating of bread is a bit like having your grandma's favorite dish, your late grandma's favorite dish at Thanksgiving, right? And so when you eat of it, you remember her and all that she meant to you. It's kind of body sense memory. But for us Christians who happen to be Lutheran, we take Jesus at his word. Our vision has been changed by our encounter with the risen Jesus, and we see differently. We trust Jesus' promise. This is my body. This is my blood. And we see it in this little sip of wine and this crumbly piece of bread I'm trying to hold together so I can eat it. We receive it when we eat and drink. I don't know how that is, but I know it's true. That when we come to this banquet table, we receive the very real presence of Christ. Because I've seen the transformation of believers who have received this meal. I see the beaming face of a single mother from my childhood. Every time she would come forward, just beaming to come to that meal. And I see it in your faces. Your hands held out, some boldly, some shyly. I see it in the tears in your eyes as you commune with a late spouse or child. As you commune with all those who have eaten this meal all the way back to Jesus and all the way forward into the future, where we all sit around that table with the great heavenly host. That's what we mean when we confess we believe in the communion of the saints, that we sit at this table together with all those saints living and dead. This is a feast for all times and all places, during war and peace, surrounded by chaos, surrounded by love. That's why I love communion at weddings and at funerals. Because we're reminded that these things are not done in isolation. It ain't just my parent who died. It's not just my daughter who's getting married. That these things are done in communion together. They affect all of us. That we celebrate this promise of new life, the deep love and communion between two people, the start of something new and amazing. We celebrate that together with all creation. That we mourn the death of a loved one, surrounded by the great cloud of witnesses to the love of God and Jesus Christ, those who have gone before us, that we are not alone in our grief, that we are together. in communion with one another. A reminder that while we tarry here, we are citizens first and foremost of the reign of heaven, where our worth, our value comes from the God who made us, who in the waters of baptism have claimed us and has called us into this communion with one another together. So that we might go out into the world with our vision restored. To see the image of God in all that we meet and to treat them that way. To love God with all that we are, to love one another as God and Jesus has loved us. Friends, the feast is for you, for all of you. Come to this table of mercy and grace. Come to receive the very body and blood of Jesus. Come and experience this communion with other human beings just like you. Come joyful, come sad. Come sinner, come saint. Come. Come to the place where we are all one. At this holy feast. Thanks be to God.